Well, thank you, Sister Clark. Go home and read Romans chapter 8. You'll see what she was singing about. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament. I want you to go where you can read the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Is that enough for you? Do you need more direction than that? Go to the book of Exodus. We're going to get them fresh right off the mountain. Moses has been up there and God's given them to him. There's a big crowd waiting down in the valley that's been ordered not to touch the mountain lest they die. And as God comes down and touches the mountain, it erupts in fire and flame. And Moses is called up. And for you folks that know what I'm talking about, he's a beautiful type of us being caught up at the rapture. Amen. To God. The trumpet continues to wail and cry loud, and Moses goes up, the scripture tells us, but that's not my sermon. Go to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to talk a little bit. Mark this if you don't have it marked. This is a place you can read clearly, probably the clearest, if you want to take your pen and number them, of the Ten Commandments given in the scripture. This morning I'm going to speak to you on one of them. But I'm going to make you read them all. It won't hurt us. Amen. If you don't have marked in chapter 20 of Exodus, you can do that as we go. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Here's the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Second one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Here's the third one. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that has been in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Here we go with the fifth one. Honor thy father and thy mother, that you may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Paul says this is a commandment with promise, long life to young people, you ought to note that. And then the sixth one, thou shalt not kill. And the seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the one that's hated so much today. Then the eighth one, thou shalt not steal. And the ninth one, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the tenth one, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, anything, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I want you to go back to the ninth commandment. Find it here in verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now in the New Testament, when Jesus quotes that, he doesn't add the neighbor to it, perhaps, but that doesn't change anything. He quotes to the rich young ruler in the New Testament, and he says, thou shalt not bear false witness, when he's quoting some of the commandments. I want to speak to you this morning on the opposite, the fact that this is one of the most violated of the Ten Commandments. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the biggest lie. Lying is in the news with all the politics. Everywhere you turn, you're hearing about it. But I want to talk to you about the biggest lie. I think about when Bill Clinton was finishing up in the White House, and I think about how he was in trouble with some of the scandals, and he took a walk one day down Pennsylvania Avenue there, and he saw some young boys standing in a circle, and there was a little old puppy dog in the middle of the circle. And the president went up to him and he heard them talking. He said, "What are you guys talking about?" They said, "Well, we're arguing over who gets to take the dog home with them. It's a stray dog and all of us want him." The little dog looking there, wagging his tail. And the president said, "Well, how are you going to decide?" He said, "Well, we decided that whoever can tell the biggest lie can have the dog." The president said, "Boys, that's wrong. I'd never tell a lie." One of the boys looked at the other and said, "Let him have the dog." Now, talk to you about the biggest lie. That probably wasn't it. I look around at the politicians today and all the primaries and all that's going on. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a circular firing squad. How would you like to be in a circular firing squad? They're killing each other. They're literally killing each other, and all of it's going to be played back. And no matter who wins the thing, it's going to come back to haunt them. But let me say, lying is no joke with God. I mean, here he put it in the Big Ten. Now, the Jews were given 613 commandments, but God summarized them all in 10. And in that Big Ten, you have, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Not lying. It's no joke with God. Jesus said in the New Testament, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." He was saying, tell the truth. Say what you mean what you say. That's what he was saying. And don't we as parents try to teach our kids not to lie? You see, you never have to teach them to lie. That's natural. I've had parents, I've been connected with a Christian school all these many years, and I've had parents look at me, "My child don't lie." Well, did he come from another planet? If he come out of Adam's seed, he will lie. The flesh is flesh. Be honest about it. And I agree, we parents ought to try our best to teach them. And I remember mother, the house I was born in didn't have much in it, but it had a big picture of George Washington on the wall. This one you've seen 100 times. My dad was a farmer and a school teacher, and he had that picture of George Washington on the wall. And I remember Mama telling me the story about how George Washington cut down the cherry tree with his little hatchet. But when they asked him, he said, "I cannot lie." And he told the truth. Later on, Mother got me a toy hatchet. Now, I remember I was disappointed. It wasn't very sharp. But she always told me the story, George Washington cannot lie. It impressed me so much that even until this day, I haven't told a lie about a cherry tree. Amen. And I'll not let you quiz me any further. Today, truth is lost and lies has taken its place. Lies has become the norm, I hate to say it. We've learned to rename them. "I just a fib." Really? "Just a little white lie." Uh-huh. God don't have those categories in the book. And we've learned today, and one of the biggest deals we see today, one of the biggest packages that contains probably the most lies is what we call political correctness. Now, you know, that's a word we didn't know not too many years ago. You know, words get invented to cover necessities, and because all of a sudden the truth is so counterfeited and camouflaged in our country today, they've invented a word, political correctness. Why not just call it lying? Just call it what it is. In the original 9/11, when the planes flew into the tower and the dignitaries, President Bush and others, went down to the cathedral there in Washington, and they brought in, of all things, an imam of the very religion that brought the towers down, and they brought in several others to speak, and as soon as I saw it on the news, I saw it's all political correctness and the truth is left out. It was left out as to who done it. Saudi Arabian dignitaries was over here, but they put them on a plane and flew them back because all the hijackers came out of Saudi Arabia. And so a big cover-up was immediately taking place. And our president at that time said, "Oh, it's a great religion. They've hijacked a great religion." Oh, no, that is their religion. And they were practicing their religion when they, in fact, those pilots of those planes had something like a half a bed sheet, not quite that big, but what they did, a white one, what they did is they got close and the planes were going into the towers. They put that over in front of them. That's their burial cloth. They believed the lie that they were going to wake up with 70 virgins and be in heaven forevermore. Brother, I got news for you. I suspect one of them, when they found out where they were going, they said, "It's not Osama bin Laden, but Osama bin Laden." Because it was not true, amen? Political correctness everywhere you turn today. Obama, President Obama went to the mosque the other day. Big mosque. And he got in there and he praised them in the mosque. Now, there's 3,000 of those mosques in America now. Would you believe that? Almost as many as independent Baptist churches, not quite, but 3,000 mosques in America, almost all of them built from money from Saudi Arabia. And there's in Islam, there's sects, some worse than others, and the Wahhabi sect is of Saudi Arabia, and it is one of the most radical terrorist groups that you can mention. Yet our president said there, he had them talking to him. You ought to see all he said. He said to the Muslims, "You have helped make the fabric of America." What a joke. He said, "You contributed so much. I wonder where and how." And he said, "You're not Muslim American, you are American Muslims." I got news to you, they won't swear allegiance to the Constitution. They won't swear allegiance to America. No, I'll tell you something. All of that is political correctness run amok. I mean, it's all off the charts. And that very mosque was being investigated and is being investigated by the FBI because they've had terrorists speak in there. Amazing. Amazing. And the lie is part of their doctrine. Do you understand? They are allowed permission to lie if it will further their cause. And they do it all the time. Do it all the time. The lie is part of their doctrine. And that's all big and it's all bad. But let me say, that's not the biggest lie I'm talking about. Political correctness is bad. One of the reasons Donald Trump is drawing the big following he is because he won't speak politically correct. Now, I'm not campaigning for him. I'm just saying it's a fresh breath of air when people can finally here's somebody that won't put it in that package to hide it and to deceive it. And the truth of the matter is today, America is suffering from that deception everywhere we turn. Political correctness, however, is not the biggest lie. I go on to say that some of the lies are so ridiculous I can't imagine. I mean, big, ridiculous lies. Like, for instance, there's no difference in the genders. Now, I got news for you. If you don't know the difference in a male and female, please stay away from me. I don't even want to breathe the same air with you. But let's get close enough, you might touch me. Amen? How ridiculous. You're not supposed to believe what your eyes see. You're not supposed to believe what you know. Common sense, you're supposed to just go along with it. Big, ridiculous lies. Jesus said in Matthew 19, when they were asking him about divorce, he said, "Have not you read from the beginning that God created them male and female?" He didn't leave any room in there for a pervert in the middle nowhere. He just male and female is what he said. And you can't get any more honest. You can't get any plainer than that. And yet, at the turn of the year here we are in 2016, Washington, D.C., as of January, end of December, put a ban on businesses, establishments, segregating the restrooms. Male or female can go in either one they happen to feel like fits them that day.
Yeah.
And in fact, in Minnesota, a judge just ruled against the company because I believe it was like this. A man in the company decided he was a woman and he wanted to go in the women's restroom, and the boss wouldn't let him. So he's able to file a lawsuit, and that company has been charged a big fine, over $100,000, because they would not allow it. America, I'm talking to you about. I'm talking about ridiculous lies, big ones. Amazing. Christian school in Massachusetts just being fined because they would not hire a homosexual. While we say right down here in the South, bless God, I got my guns and I'm glad you have and I got them too. But at the same time, it's going to creep on down. It's going to move from big liberal places like Massachusetts right on down to other places like us and big cities, and going to come pushing into little cities, because it's all what they want us to have to live with and believe and claim to believe. It's amazing. I'm seeing things like this. If you know about the book, 1948, a man named Orwell wrote a book. He flipped 1948 on its side, and he predicted it would arrive by 1984. But it did not quite, but it was starting, and today it is full-blown here in the country today, and that is where you can be charged because of what you think. Freedom of speech in America has gone down the tubes. And people are tiptoeing around to be careful. And every now and then you see where a policeman or somebody else loses their job because they put their own thoughts on the Facebook or something else and got caught with it. So the thought police is working today already. And the freedom of speech is being hurt. I've joked about this before, but it's not too much of a joke. If a fellow mugs you on the streets and you kill him, just before you kill him, tell him you love him. Otherwise, it'll be a hate crime. Now, while I'm playing with you some, it's moved to that ridiculous position in America even today. No gender difference? What a joke. It's amazing. I've seen a few. I had a hard time telling the difference. Thank God they were good ways from me. Amen. I'm talking to you about the biggest lies, big as those are, and as most ridiculous as they are, that's still not the biggest lie. Still not the biggest. The biggest lies will take place within something very close to us, very familiar to us. That's religion. Now, Christianity is a religion, but religion is not Christianity. There is a big difference between the two. But you see, Satan is the author of lies. Jesus said, he said that he's the father of liars. He's a liar. He's the father of them. And so they originate with Satan. Now, you know, we got a wrong idea about him. We think he's down at the bar trying to get the guy to take another drink. No, he's already got him. He's more likely to be in church. He's more likely to be out among those that are trying to live right for the Lord, causing them trouble. He'll take a nation and deceive them like America. And so his big thing is to get false religion to replace the truth. Amen. And it's happening around the world. The biggest lie has to do and does the greatest damage. Jesus said, "Fear not him that can kill just the body." Matthew 10, I believe it is. Fear not him that just kills the body, but fear him that can kill both body and soul in hell. And you say, that's the devil. It's not the devil. It's God. God is the one that can take your soul and your body and destroy it, as the scripture says. Satan doesn't have that power only when God gives it to him and allows it. But the truth of the matter is, we look around today and everybody is afraid what man's going to do to them. Man can only kill the body, Jesus said. And that's a real truth. See, the devil wants to be where he can do the most damage. What most damage can he do? Cause a man to die lost. Yeah. Steal his soul, as it were. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul is the most invaluable thing you got. You'll know that 1 minute after your last breath. You'll know it then. You'll know the car wasn't important. The house wasn't important. All your desires and things you planned, not near as important as where your soul went. So that's why Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, he'd lose his own soul? He'll not gain the whole world, but if he could, it'd be a bad deal if it cost him his soul. Now, Satan is involved from paganism to intellectualism. I've heard the missionaries tell this. Brother Harry's sitting over here. He could probably give you some stories of heathen women, pagan women, a false religion, taking the baby down to the river and throwing it to the crocodiles because she was sacrificing to her God. Those type things do happen, have happened, do happen. That's paganism, and the devil is behind that. And we think about that, but wait a minute. The devil can swing all the way from the crude and the gross, the heathenism. He swings all the way up in America to intellectualism. And you don't suspect to find him there, but he's there. He's there in our colleges teaching our kids against God. He's there in Hollywood trying to brainwash young people with the lies that's pushed on them. Through what is accepted as high class, intellectualism, he does some of his greatest damage. There's a new Tower of Babel now. Did you know that? You say, you mean the Tower of Babel they built to reach into heaven and try to dethrone God in the book of Genesis? I mean the counterpart of it today is not called the Tower of Babel. You've heard me mention it before. I think when Stephen was here preaching, he mentioned it a time or two. Do you ever hear of the Hadron Collider? There's a group abbreviated, and their name is CERN, but it's a big nuclear thing. They have built the largest machine in the world. It crosses on the border between France and Switzerland. It's a long pipe, basically. One machine connected to another. Looks a little bit like that thing they put you through when they're going to give you a CAT scan or something where you run through that tube. Well, if you took a million of them and put them in the end, it sort of looked like that. It's a big thing. You can see pictures of it. Some of you that got your magic box in your hand, don't do it now, but you can look it up later. And the Hadron Collider is basically a machine that they're trying to take the atoms or the protons of the atoms and send them around this big pipe circle, 17 miles on the border of Switzerland and France. And they're going to make the particles collide. And they're trying to find God's building blocks to open another portal to the unknown. Breakthrough into another dimension. That's what it's all about. And what you got is you got a crew just like at the Tower of Babel wanting to meddle into God's business. And the interesting thing is, Brother Harry, you may tell me about this, but there's a god in Hindu called Shiva. Am I saying it right? I think maybe she's a female kind of looking creature, kind of creepy looking to me, but got, what, four arms or something, more than just the two arms. You've seen the thing, the Hindu god. And outside of this Hadron Collider over there, they've got a great big bronze sculpture of Shiva. Now, you got to know something about Shiva. That's the Hindu god of destruction and restoration. And so what this intellectualism, so-called scientific thing, is supposed to do with all the billions and billions of dollars, they're going to destroy something and rebuild it better. In other words, they're going to take God's place. They're going to discover God's secrets. And the danger is they may literally open a portal to another dimension. In fact, the Bible may even hint about it. I'm flipping over to Revelation. Don't do it for time's sake. But over in Revelation chapter 9, if you'd read it when you get home, and I'm not naive enough to think you are. I'm just making a suggestion. But in Revelation chapter 9, a star falls from heaven, the personality, and he's got the key to the bottomless pit. And then you drop over in Revelation chapter 9, pick it up in verse 11, he's got a name. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollon. Now this is paganism. This is Greek god, Apollon. Do you know that collider they have built across the border there is built on a temple, pagan, Greek type temple built to the god Apollon? Kind of interesting how the Bible's way ahead of them, isn't it? Way ahead of them. And here you got Shiva outside, the god of destruction of the Hindus. Here you've got Apollon, his temple site. Here you've got the intellectual scientist, so-called, going to break through, open a portal, find a new dimension. We don't need God. We're going to create like he did. We're going to destroy it, and then we're going to recreate it. Folks, that's the time you're living in. But you read that ninth chapter of Revelation, you find out that's some place you don't want to be. When that bottomless pit is opened, you don't want to be around. And if you're saved, praise God, you don't have to be around. But religion is Satan's playhouse. It's the place where he tells his biggest lies. And I hate to say it, but it's working. It's working. You've got all kind of intellectualism that's going to brainwash these young people as soon as they get out of our Christian school, as soon as they get out of church, as soon as they get out of mom and dad's home. They're going to run into all this junk to try to destroy everything they've ever been taught with a big lie, a big lie. Let me hurry on to say, though, political correctness is not the biggest lie. It's big. Ridiculous lies like no difference in the genders and all the stuff that goes with it. That's big, but it's not the biggest lie. These guys over there are trying to break through the dimension, pull God, as it were, from his throne, take his place, show him how we'll destroy what you've done and build it right. It's a pretty big lie, but it's not the biggest. The biggest lie I could tell you about today is who's whispering to you right now and telling you that you can make it on your own. You don't need Jesus. You've been pretty good. You've been a good neighbor. You paid your bills. Mom and dad said you were a good boy. And even the pastor said, just be good as you can. That's the biggest lie. You can't make it on your own. The father of lies is whispering that you can, but you can't. And you'll never get saved until you admit you can't. You can't. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, there's none righteous, no, not one. And the truth is, unless we can find a substitute to represent us, we're doomed. We're doomed. Oh, I thank God there's a substitute available. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, speaking of God, hath laid on him, speaking of Christ, the sins of us all. Laid on him our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's substitution, folks. That's him taking my place, who was innocent. I am guilty. He took my place. I go free. My sins are paid for. He paid for them on the cross of Calvary. God accepted that payment because he raised him from the dead. And the truth of the matter is, I don't have to believe the devil's lie anymore. I just step out and receive Jesus, my substitute, and trust him and let him make a payment I couldn't make. And that's the only way you're going to make it. So it really boils down to it. You're going to believe the lie of the devil or the truth of God? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. Not one of many. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now you either believe him, or the biggest lie that's ever been spoken on this planet, started in the Garden of Eden, and that's what this big collider thing's about. What did Satan tell Eve in the garden? You'll be as gods. So what we got in intellectualism today is people trying to take the place of God, still trying to fulfill the devil's lie. in the Garden of Eden when he said, just go ahead, you'll be smarter than God, you'll be like God. That's where we've arrived, and that's a big lie. But the biggest lie is that you can stand before the real God. And because you've been good, have your sins forgiven. Because you've done some great things, and God prefers that you would be good as you could be, but he says still not enough. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy that he saves us. I remember coming into the church building, hearing the good news of being saved, and I already knew my righteousness was no good. And then finding one that offered me righteousness I could never achieve on my own, and that was the Lord Jesus. We all need a substitute. See, one day we'll all face this. One day I'll step before God's court. The Bible tells me the devil is the accuser of the brother. Accuser of the brethren. He's the prosecuting attorney. And as I step in there, he's going to accuse me, and he's going to say, he was a big sinner. And the judge say, how do you plead, Mickey? I'll say, yes. Yes. And that prosecuting attorney, the devil, will say, the wages of sin is death. I should cast him into hell. And the judge will say, what about it, Mickey? I'll say, he's right. He's right. I deserve hell. But then I'll hear the judge say, but he's going free. He's going to heaven. And the devil says, what? He admits he's guilty. He's never paid for his sins. The judge is going to say, yeah, but somebody else paid them. That somebody else is Jesus. And I want to tell you what, until you received him as your Savior, you can't face God. You can't face that prosecuting attorney. You can't face eternity in your own sins. You got to have somebody that was sinless. And the blood that was sinless will cover those sins and pay for them and let you go free, though you deserved hell.
Amen.
My. The biggest lie is not this political situation or this perversion situation. It's the people that are listening to the devil saying you'd make it on your own. But you can't. You can't. And I got good news for you. You may not see Jesus standing here today, but he's right here with his arms open and the promise of the Bible, his word, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Oh, listen, that's the best offer you'll ever have. It's the only thing that you can face God with. It's the only thing. Please don't believe the big lie of the devil. This morning, Jesus is truth, and he wants you to come to him, to believe on him, to receive him, to trust him. And you do that, and you're going to stand uncondemned before the court of heaven as though you never committed one sin. That's what you can have in Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray you know him today. And if not, you'll come and receive him. Right now, this morning, that you'll come. He'll receive you if you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've tried to get into somebody's head and somebody's heart this morning. All kind of lies, all kind of deception, but Jesus is the truth. And I'm trying to point them, Lord, to the truth, the one that can save them, the only one that can save them, the only one that can forgive them, the only one that paid for their sins on the cross. I pray you speak to hearts, that young man, that young wife, grandparent, whoever it is, Lord, that needs to come and receive Christ today. I pray they would not listen to the lies anymore of this old world and the devil, but they'd come to Christ, who is the truth. I pray for the Holy Spirit of God right now to urge them in their very soul of souls to come receive Christ. Bless the invitation, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step down to the front. Will you meet me here? Many do it. People all around you have done it. I did. Come and accept Christ. Come on. Come on as we sing.
Just as